Hi, Tom. I'm Robin.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you? Where are you?
I'm in Queens, New York.
Oh, my God. God bless you. I'm on the Upper West Side.
Get out of town. We're like a stone throws away.
I am not getting out of town. I know. Hi.
Are you near...
We could have met somewhere in between.
We could have met at Zabar's and had a coffee 6 feet away.
Oh, my God. Next time. Oh, my God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I got to tell you, this was such a gorgeous film. I cried.
Oh.
I laughed. I loved it so much. Really, it's my favorite movie of the year, and I'm not just saying that. Not because I love Kevin Costner.
This is going to be a wonderful conversation. We're off to a great start.
In all seriousness,
yeah.
You watch a movie with Diane and Kevin, and you know it's going to be fabulous. But I didn't really expect it to be so fabulous. It's really great.
Good. That's great. What about it?
Well, let's talk about first of all.
What got you?
What got me was Kevin is so particular, as from the way he rides a horse to what his character looks like, and I thought it was just so funny that he said to you, "What's my hat going to look like?"
I know. So it was. What's the hat? Yeah.
So what did you say to him when you said that? Anything you want, or we already have the hat, Kevin? Too bad. Like, what did you say?
No. You know what? It became a conversation. It was really interesting because it was about the difference between in the West between the a cowboy's hat, between a rancher's hat and law enforcement, and I wanted it to have. Even if it was a rancher's hat, I never wanted Kevin in, like, he's not in uniform, but he's a former sheriff. And I wanted whatever he was wearing to sort of have the ghost of a uniform about it. And so he's in tan pants, or he's never in blue jeans, which is what he would be wearing. And so the hat had the shape of a lawman's hat.
Did Kevin?
That's your answer.
Did Kevin keep the hat?
He was into it, though. I think he. I'm sure he did, but he didn't. He was also. He was very much not. I mean, he doesn't. I think he has the hat on him once. He takes the hat off. Is what happens in the very first scene that you meet him with, and it was he really wanted to differentiate George from John Dutton, that he wanted to, and it's why he has a flat top haircut like a cop.
Yes.
And he wanted to be seen that way more than the Western man in a hat.
Got it. And
he had a hat, he just never put it on.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing is that Diane, the Margaret part, she kind of drives the movie. And she's actually the one who wears a hat in a couple things.
Right. Did she do all her own horseback riding? I mean, we all know Kevin can ride. So what about Diane?
She can, too. There was a stunt rider for her whose name somebody in production can help you with. Her. She's fantastic. She's like the queen of the stampede up there in Calgary, Jerry. I can't remember her last name, but Diane did a lot of work too. Did like the close work that you see on screen is all Diane. It was just for the super wide stuff she had a double.
Now, how does that work with the horses? I'm always so like amazed at how great these horses are. Does Diane and Kevin bond with the horse? Is there like that kind of a thing going on?
Absolutely. If you're going to ride a horse, like Diane spent a lot of time with the horse she had to ride. Kevin, I don't know. I don't think he spent a lot of time on the horse he rode. And he's so modest. He's like, I'm not a great rider. He's like, these other guys are all great riders. He's like, but I can make it look like I'm a great, rider. He's so modest, but But we had a wonderful handler, and, you know, you cast the horses for what they need to do, and often you have multiple horses playing the same horse character, if that makes any sense.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because some horses are really good at standing still. Some horses are more active. So depending on what you need the horse to do in the scene, you have a horse that looks like that.
But they only rode the horse when they had to ride the horse. It wasn't like Diane woke up in the morning and she said, I'm going to take my horse Skippy out for a run, you know, kind of thing.
No, I think she was riding that horse on weekends.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I also understand that Kevin's band performed Modern West. Is that true? Or
they didn't perform. What happened was Kevin was sharing the music with all of us. But like sort of to like get somebody in the mood, with Diane or with Leslie, he would sort of, like, he had a playlist, I think, for the movie from Modern West and would, you know, put the earbuds in their ears and share with them.
And get them into the cowboy spirit, so to speak.
Yeah, just sort of, exactly, just sort of sharing the spirit of the scene he was feeling.
And I understand that this was the very first time Leslie Manville ever held a gun in her entire career.
Isn't that in her entire life?
In her entire life.
In her entire life. And it was about 5 minutes into it, Kevin said, I don't believe you. He said, you're a born natural. So it was great. He was so sweet with her. Imagine, like, you know, you get to play with a cowboy, a guy who's played cowboys a million times. And so it was a treat for her, but she also really wanted to do well. And it was fun for him to, you know, give her tips or whatever it was. But she leapt into it. You know, she did. She loves to talk about how we had, you know, the blood squibs on her back for when she gets shot. So we exploded the squibs and she falls down and leans back into that room that's on fire. And like, she's so proud of her stunts. It was great.
Were there any mishaps? Because I understand that you did use real fire.
We did. We had zero mishaps. Those guys are so on top of it. It's amazing. And I was a little, I think I was less comfortable with Leslie. You know, she sort of hits the ground and falls backwards into a burning room. I don't think I'm up for that.
I don't think I would be up for that either.
You know, forget it.
But she was a champ about it. Wow.
All of them. You know what I mean? They in for a penny, in for a pound. All of them. Like it was hard. I was anxious about Leslie and the fire. I was never worried about Diane, and I got a little anxious about Kevin in the motel room because he did so much of that over and over again. There are a couple, which is he's really tussling with these enormous men, and he's giving it all he's got. And I know he was black and blue, but he's, you know, slipping, you know, with a head over tea kettle across that bed. They're banging him up against the wall. He's done this stuff so many times. He knows how to monitor himself, but he also gives it his all every time.
So you were afraid he was going to actually get hit in the head.
or you know, it's just, you know, the eighth time you're falling, you know, you're rolling over backwards across the bed onto the floor, like, something's going to go wrong, and it didn't. But
it doesn't mean you don't have those concerns, I get you.
I know, I'm a mother. I got to keep my eye on all my babies. I'm nervous.
You know who else is really great in this movie? Is Jeffrey Donovan.
Oh, isn't he?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. he was always up to something, for sure. And I loved, he really gave something, just made so much more of something that wasn't quite on the page. And I loved his courtliness. And I told him the thing that cracked me up is that it feels like Bill somehow thinks he has a chance with Margaret. And that's the way he played it. In his version of the movie, it's a love story between Bill and Margaret.
Interesting.
And Bill doesn't get the girl.
Oh, wow. Well, who wouldn't be in love with Diane Lane to begin with?
I know.
Gosh, were you in love?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, but I've been in love forever. You know, I got bit back when I was a kid and saw A Little Romance. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In those dinner scenes too, and let me just tell you, Leslie Manville killed it. Just, you know, the first time that we see her on screen.
34 of those pork chops went into two of the men sitting at that table. The guys, the Connor and Adam that played her sons. I kept saying, guys, you're not even on camera. You do not need to eat these. But they were giving it their all. So. It was a bit of an eating competition.
And they actually tasted good.
I think everybody said they did. Like it's funny. Ken Wells was in charge of our prop department, and so they were in charge of food. And all the food was great. Everybody was eating between the pork chops, the. Diane and Kevin were wild about the pot roast in the diner they went into, and the coffee cake was great. So there was everybody. People did not have a problem eating.
Nobody starved during the making of Let Him Go.
Not at all. Not at all.
So what about when you were all together? This was shot in Calgary, right? It wasn't shot in Montana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where did everybody...
No, sadly.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful. Wherever you shot was gorgeous. Yeah. Where did everybody sort of stay? And
Diane got her own apartment because she really enjoys doing her own cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted a kitchen, and I think... Leslie wasn't there for very long. Kevin was there for long. We all stayed at, I loved it. It's the Sheraton Eau Claire in Calgary, right there on the river. And that the staff was fantastic. That was sort of home away from home. It's so funny. You living in Queens, me in Manhattan, I'm telling you, like, I'll meet you in Calgary, and I will take you to 10 fantastic restaurants, places I still think about that I'd rather go eat than try to find a place in New York. They were great. 10-Foot Henry, Native Tongues, the Nash. So there were a lot of meals out on the town.
I see.
They have a great food culture there. You also maybe have gotten from this conversation that I like to eat. This seems a little food focused. It's horses and food.
It's all about the food.
Horses, guns, and food.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know.
That's going to be the headline.
Sure. Yeah, please.
What do you hope audiences come away with after they see this movie?
What I really loved about it was when I read the book by Larry Watson was it was an opportunity, like it's a nail-biting thriller. It made me sort of sick to my stomach, this terrible predicament that George and Margaret find themselves in with the death of their son and then trying to find their grandson. So that was exciting to me, but what really pulled me in was the opportunity to show a long married couple and how they communicate without ever talking. There's a wonderful moment at the pork chop dinner where Diane has the kid and is starting to back out of the room. And Kevin turns around and stops her with his eyes. And the two of them, without saying anything and with barely moving their heads, negotiate what they're going to do. And he convinces her to put the kid down. And they're both spectacular in the moment. And it's without a word of dialogue.
Wow. Well, that's testament to the fact that they've worked together before. And, of course, you believe them.
Yeah.
Did you come away with, like, a favorite directing moment where you felt like, this is like the best thing I've ever done in my career?
No, but I mean, I never feel like that. You always feel like, okay, how can I improve? But I am, what I would say is I'm acutely aware when I am gifted by an actor. Like Kevin and Diane in that moment, and you know you've got something special, and that feels great.
So you feel like you could be besties with them now. You can call them up and say, "What are you doing? Let's get together."
You know, at the end of it was a good weekend for us, and so I had a glass of wine on Zoom with Diane last night.
Oh, as you should. Perfect.
Yeah, it was good. We were sort of celebrating.
Yes, lots to celebrate. And Tom, thank you so much. Next time I see you, let's go have coffee and a bagel.
You got it, Robin. It was great. It was great talking to you. Thanks for enjoying the movie.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Sure. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.